I've shared before about Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed God. And in their disobedience, they gave over the title deed of what all that God had given them and blessed them with. They gave it over to the hand of Satan when they disobeyed God. But God, in his love and mercy and in his great kindness, you know, it is amazing to me how much God loves us. When we don't even deserve it. Somebody say amen. How many of you know your life and you know you probably deserved hell? Hello, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Shh, down. But because of grace and because of mercy and because of his loving kindness. Well, that story of grace and mercy begins at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. God in his love in Genesis chapter 3, reading in verse 15. Let's back up a little bit to 14. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Now, this is God. Look at me. This is called a standoff. This is God facing the devil. And he's saying, because this is a standoff. He's telling him what's happening here. He said, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity. That word enmity means a deep-rooted, deep-seated hatred against God. I will put enmity between you, talking about Satan, and the woman. The woman he was talking about there was not Eve. That woman he was talking about was about Mary, who was going to bring forth the seed, the baby, Emmanuel, Jesus. And between your seed... What seed? The seed of unrighteousness, the seed of death, the seed of destruction and hell that he brings. The devil comes only but to what? John 10:10 says, the thief comes only but to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, he's going to what? Look what he says here. And I will put enmity. There's a deep-rooted, deep-seated hatred between you and the woman, Mary, and between your seed, Satan, and her seed, capital S, the seed of righteousness, which would be Jesus. He, Jesus, shall bruise your head. The Greek word in there means the authority that you think you have is going to be bruised and taken away from you. And you shall bruise his heel. Let me stop there for a moment. So many times we don't understand the depth of God's love and mercy and grace. Sometimes we don't understand. Church houses today are either closed down because it's Christmas, or some of them will be maybe open. I heard a lot of them say that we're going to close service today because it's Christmas. Jesus is the reason for Christmas. Christ must. Christian, Christ within. Jesus came, Emmanuel, to the manger. And from the manger to the cross, the baby was born for only one purpose, so that he could bruise the authority that Satan thought he had over you and I through the destruction of sin and the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But God loved us so much that he would speak hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus would even be born. He would prophesy ahead of time that I created man in my image and I love them and I am going to prepare a plan of escape. I'm going to prepare that for them. Isaiah talks once again about that plan in Isaiah chapter 9. This still is hundreds of years before Jesus comes. Isaiah chapter 9, reading in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Somebody say, that sounds good. Isaiah, a powerful prophet. In my mind, I think about Isaiah. You know, the Bible says that he mustn't have been big in stature because the Bible says that he was such a powerful man. People would mock and make fun of him, but at the same time, they feared him. He obviously was bald because the sons of the prophets said, go up, old bald man, go up. And it wasn't because bald was in the groove at that time. But Isaiah prophesies about the coming king. God is amazing to me. If you will go with me over to Exodus, you see a foreshadow of what was going to come again. God talks about Jesus once again in the foreshadow of the great Exodus, the great escape for the children of Israel. How many of you know that you and I need an escape? You and I need a deliverer. You and I need help, because left to ourselves, we're in trouble. Left to our little carnal nature, your carnal nature, what? Is a little monster. Somebody say, it's a monster. That little thing, you let that little creature have its way inside, and you know what? It'll bring you destruction. And this is why Jesus comes to protect you and puts the Holy Spirit within you that says, put the brakes on. No. The children of Israel got themselves in big trouble. And the children of Israel were in bondage. And if you read with me Exodus chapter 12, I like how God always hears the cry of his people. While you are going over to Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to read to you really quick, and you can just write this down in Exodus chapter 3, how God hears their cry. In Exodus chapter 2, I'll start off there. He says, now it happened, reading in verse 23 of Exodus chapter 2, 23, and stay over there if you will, please. I'm going back to Exodus 12 in a minute. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, it says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of their bondage. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Over in Exodus chapter 3, reading in verse 7, he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. How many of you have ever had sorrows? How many of you have ever been broken? You see, sin breaks you. Sin destroys your life. So many people don't understand that. People ask me sometimes, Dr. LaWanna, why do you preach the way you do? Because I have seen what sin does to people. One extra line of some cocaine. I've seen meth drug addicts scarred from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Once beautiful, now a hooker, skinny, like a skeleton walking death, selling her body for the next line, the next smoke. I've seen what sin does. I've been to the prisons. I've visited people that are there for life because they'll never get out. I've talked to people on death row who said, if only somebody would have told me about Jesus. I've been beside the bed of a young man, 28 years old, dying of AIDS. I've been to the battered homes where young women who thought they met the dream of their life, only to find themselves so beaten beyond recognition, with black eyes and beaten. I've been to the drunk tanks. And I've been there when I've seen them so warped in their mind that they think they're pouring alcohol in their shoe and try to drink out of their shoe, and there's nothing in that shoe. I've watched them, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And because destruction of sin comes, and because Jesus loved you and I so much, he said, I've got to go down there. I've got to give them a way out of that destruction. I've got to lead them into a better life. See, when the children of Israel were coming out of bondage, Exodus chapter 12, God tells Moses, he says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, reading in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all of the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Why did he take that lamb? Why did he take that lamb? Why did he take that lamb? Why was it killed at a certain hour? Why did they take the blood of the lamb for each household? You see, Jesus is not just for the church house. Jesus is for your household. Jesus is for every household. Jesus is for you, to go from you into that household, that Christ may be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of your entire family, because you carry that blood of Jesus over you. The same as the children of Israel, when they took that blood and they put it in a basin and a bowl, and they took the hyssop, thank you. And they dunked it in the blood and they put it over the doorpost. Why? To keep them from the destroyer. You and I, why did Jesus come? The baby is wonderful. In the manger, it's amazing. That's the beginning of the love story. That's the beginning of his grace. That is just the beginning. He walked 33 years, healing, delivering, setting at liberty those that were oppressed. The demoniac, he delivered Mary Magdalene. Blind Bartimaeus, he opened those eyes. The woman bowed over with a disease, with arthritic disease, where she had never even stood up, suddenly is healed and standing up. The woman who probably has leukemia or some heavy-duty blood disease gets healed. The woman who says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, is healed. The lepers that are outside the city, if we go in and Jesus is there, if we just touch him, I know we'll be able to see. Let's go. We die out here with leprosy, or we touch him, one or the other. What are we going to do? I don't know about you, but I'm going to go get healed. And they go and they touch him, and Jesus heals him. But you see, they put him on a cross. They laid him down on a wooden cross, and they put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head, and they beat him 39 times with a whip across his back, a spear in his side, and nails in his feet, and they thought that it was over. But my friend, that was just the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of victory that would sweep across the land and across the globe for all of those that would come to Christ by faith and walk in his righteousness. We could have eternal life if we would come to the cross, if we would recognize what he did. How does a man recognize he needs Jesus? By looking at a mirror of who he really is. Because most of us are blind by pride, and don't get upset at me. Somebody say, mm-hmm. Well, I'm not that bad. That's a loser. 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 I knew they were losers. They should put the loser on the forehead. I'm not that bad. Oh, yeah. And that person there, look at him. They're a heroin addict. Oh, duh. I don't do heroin. No, thank you. And that one over there, she's, oh, man, she's loosey-goosey, loose as a goose. Hello. I don't know how many men she's been with. I've only been with one or two. According to God, you still no good. The Bible said all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. Do you know hell is going to be filled with righteous, good people? Well, I've never done that. I'm a good person. I've never drank. I never cussed. I never smoked. As a matter of fact, I went to church every Sunday. I'm a good old boy. That I am. My grandfather was a minister. And my grandfather's grandfather's grandfather was a preacher too. So I'm just coming in on their coattail, and I'm a pretty good person. You know, I don't do any of that stuff. Oh, I go to church once, twice a year, Christmas and Easter maybe. But I'm not that bad. And I never use God's name in vain. No way. I use those other cuss words, but not that one. I know better. And I don't drink too bad. I just get drunk just a teeny bit. Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. How does a man come to a place? How does a woman come to a place where she understands the depth of what he did? By acknowledging what you did. I am a rotten sinner. I fall so short of your glory. God, have mercy on me, this proud, arrogant, self-righteous person. Don't make the heavens brass on me, O God. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I'm stubborn, Lord. I'm self-centered. I'm ornery. Of course, none of you are, just me. I'm so glad. Jesus came to deliver us from ourselves. That's what he came for. He came to deliver us. You know, salvation is just the beginning door. Salvation is like, salvation, when you come to the cross, is like this great, big, gigantic, think of the most beautiful house you've ever seen. Amazing. Imagine that it has 20 amazing rooms in it. For those of you that like the keyboard, there's a beautiful baby grand, the best piano you've ever seen. For those of you that like computers, that's the best computer room you've ever seen. For those of you that like football, it's one of the rooms is surround sound with football. For those of you that just like to read, one of the rooms is a gigantic library, wall to wall from the ground to the top, books with the most comfortable chair so you could kick back in a reading lamp, and right over here is the reading glasses, and over here is your tea, and over here is plug the thing and you got your coffee, or you know, oh excuse me, here's your snack, oh yeah, just everything you ever need is right there. You walk into the next room and it's everything you've ever dreamed. The best bedroom, the best wardrobe, everything you want is in that house. Salvation is like the front door, and you get to the front door. Oh, but wait a minute. Oh, I forgot about the second floor. On the second floor. Oh, what's this? Joy. There's a room filled with joy. Oh, joy. Yeah, I like joy. This is my room. Oh, wait a minute. I need to calm down. What's this? What's this room? Oh, it's a room of peace. Oh, peace. Wow. Oh, nice. Oh, peace. Oh, what's this? There's another room. Oh, my. All of a sudden, the headache's gone. Your body's new. You're healed. That old pain. That old back. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Suddenly, you're doing squats. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. I think I can run up the mountain like a gazelle. Suddenly, there's healing. Oh, there's all kinds of treasures in this house. But most people that come to the knowledge of Christ usually don't get past the door. That's where they stand. Oh, this is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's great. Peeking through the peek hole. It's so great. Awesome. Wonderful. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I love Jesus. It's wonderful. Why aren't you going in? Oh. Oh, not right now. Not yet. Oh, I will. Before I die. So they stand outside, and they stand in that, right on the door post only. They never enter in to the fullness of what God has prepared for them. They never enter in. Why don't they ever enter in? Because the heart is divided. Because the heart is divided. Why don't they ever enter in? I've been saved 33 years. And I've watched so many Christians miss out on the greatest treasures of all. Because they're not willing to let go and walk in His righteousness and in His holiness. You see, we get to the door. We want all this good stuff. But we don't understand that you got to get into it. You got to go all the way in. You can't have 1 foot outside the door, 1 foot inside. Church cannot be on the marginal. Do you know what I mean by marginal? It's like on the outside. Well, okay, if I can squeeze it into my schedule, I might squeeze it in. What are you going to do in eternity when all you have is Jesus? What are you going to do when all there is praise and worship? Well, hurry up and praise and worship. It's been like 20 minutes now. My feet are hurting. What are you going to do when there is no time in eternity? When the angels sing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What are you going to do when all they do is worship? And then comes the second choir and worship and praise. And then the third choir and the fourth choir and the fifth choir. What are you going to do when all there is worship and praise and the Lamb of God that sits upon the throne and His speaking the word and light and life and purpose comes from the Lamb of God when He is there? Hurry up. When's this going to end? Excuse me. Is there nightclubs in heaven? And pardon me, but I ain't seen any loosey-gooseys around. Is there any around here? Because I'm having a problem. I'm going through withdrawals. Yeah, I got to check out the chicks, you know what I mean? Wouldn't it be amazing if God and you and I could peel our lives like a banana? Say, ooh, yeah, I think I like that person. Let me see what they're like inside. Just like a banana. Zip it up, baby. Get it out of here. Next. What would they find underneath that peel? If they could just open you up like a banana, what would they find? This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need Jesus continually. This is why we have to pray. This is why we need the Word. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit continually changes us. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. I don't want the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit purifies us. And you can't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to you and I. It is the power, the comforter, the teacher, the helper to change us, to mold us, to help us not get to heaven. To help us escape hell. I used to think, man, I'm trying to preach them into heaven. No, I'm trying to get them out of hell. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get them out of hell. No, you're going the wrong way. Let's get you going this way. That's not a good way. I think I shared with you that my son, when he was real small, he was a runner. He used to run. Samuel, run. The minute he'd walk out the door, he was 2 years old. Then he ran track and field. Boom. I said, you can run on that field, buddy. And he came home all the time with ribbons. He was a runner. But when he was 2 years old, he'd jump out of the car and want to run. Boom. I used to keep little suspenders on him all the time. There was a reason why. The funny thing is he'd take off running. I'd pick him up and his little legs would still be gone. He thought he was still on the ground running. It's like, Sam. No. If I put you down, don't run. I knew it. I could see it in his eye. You know, God is like that with you and I. God's going, stop running. Okay, Jesus, I won't run. And the minute he lets you down, you're running to go out and to do your own thing. God's trying so hard to rescue us. Somebody say amen. Beverly, I appreciate that gift. Beverly gave me one of the greatest gifts that I've had. Wasn't that awesome? That was the greatest gift. I've had some good gifts, don't get me wrong. But that gift made me cry and laugh at the same time. And that gift was her in her Bronco hat and her Bronco shirt. And she did a movie for me of herself. And she did some special songs without music. And she goes, okay, so I forgot the words. And when she'd forget the words, la, 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 na, na. Okay, I forgot the words. Okay, wait a minute, I'll remember. La, 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 la. And then she'd go on. But the thing that touched my heart the most is she said this. For 20-some years, I thank you for telling me the truth. Because I had no purpose in my life. And I had no direction on where I was going. She said, but you kept telling me the truth, even when I didn't like it. Even when I got mad at you, you kept telling me the truth. She said, and today I thank God for that. Because today I love truth. She goes, then I hated truth. She goes, I was just a teeny beast. I wanted to say a bigger beast. She came into our second woman's home. You see, until we acknowledge who we are, and until we really look in the mirror